Good morning. You're listening to Expansion on the RBN network, republicbroadcasting.org. This is Sophia, your host, and this is also Thanksgiving weekend. So I wondered yesterday as I took a run on the beach what I should give thanks for, and the answer came to me sort of from the universe. It was for this life and the experiences we get to have here and the way that we get to feel while we're here, and that is all our choice. And today I am bringing as guests to you two really extraordinary people who are descended from an extremely extraordinary person. And these guests today are Charlotte Gerson and her son Howard Strauss. And Charlotte's father is the Max Gerson, Dr. Max Gerson, whom we learned about in my interview with Mike Anderson when he talked about his DVD, Healing Cancer and Eating. And it was through Mike, I'm sorry to say, that I really woke up to the Gerson therapy. I should have known about this long before, but our path is our path. And now that I know, I am so happy to have as my guests today, Charlotte and Howard, who have a film. It is about the third film, I think, that addresses the Gerson therapy. It is called The Beautiful Truth, and it was made by Steve Kroeschel, and it is opening this weekend in Los Angeles at the Lemley Music Hall. It opened recently in New York also, and this is something that everybody should see, to pass around and really to kind of open their own consciousness. Now, I know we're coming up on our break, but I want to quickly get the voices of Charlotte and Howard on the air before the break. Charlotte, are you there?
Yes, I'm here, and I appreciate very much being able to address your audience. I thank you for putting us on.
Well, it's my pleasure. And Howard?
Thank you, Sophia, for having me in.
Oh, you're very welcome. I have to say, I feel like I'm reaching through history with both of you to Max Gerson, you know. There's no one else who can talk about him probably as well and entirely as you both can. And I hope that we'll be able to hear lots about his discoveries as these 2 hours unfold. So the film, how did it do? It's The Beautiful Truth is the title, right?
The
and
beautiful
Wednesday
truth,
was the
yes.
opening night.
The Beautiful Truth, yes, and when it was in New York, it was the top draw at the multiplex that it played at for the entire week. The audiences were so enthusiastic that they would not let us go after the film. They would question us, then they would go out in the lobby and question us, and then when the theater kicked them out on the street, they would stay in the street for an hour and a half, talking and questioning and asking questions. It was just very, very well received.
Well, that's the connection that you're building between people. And now we're on our 3-minute break, so we will be back on the other side. To Expansion on republicbroadcasting.org, the RBN network, and this is Sophia, your host, and I am very happy to return to my guests, Charlotte Gerson and Howard Strauss, who are conducting the Gerson therapy, and they have just released a new film, The Beautiful Truth. Now, the Gerson therapy, can we just quickly sort of explain that to our audience?
Yes, we can. It's a little difficult to do it quickly, but if I really condense it, the Gerson therapy addresses the two major problems that we endure in our modern world, and those two problems are toxicity and deficiency. Now, the toxicity, of course, is partly in the soil and the sprays and the chemicals and the pesticides and fungicides and everything that goes into the soil already. And then the food processing, the additional toxicity and deficiency. And because the soil is deficient and not properly fertilized, it doesn't produce food that is rich in nutrients. That's the whole problem of our illnesses and our ill society. And once you understand that major problem of toxicity and deficiency, you understand that the therapy is detoxifying and floods the body with nutrients and not pesticide, not pharmaceutical drugs and pills and vitamins and minerals and things like that, but natural nutrients and fresh organic foods. So that's essentially the basis of the Gerson therapy.
And that's the building block. The one building block you really need for healing, right?
Yes, yes, that's yes. Right.
It's almost as though when you restore the body to its natural environment through its real needs and you clean everything, you can rebuild completely as though, almost as though nothing had happened, it seems. And your rate of cure is quite extraordinary.
It is extraordinary because essentially we get, in the Mexican hospital, we get virtually exclusively terminally ill patients. They have gone through the orthodox treatment. They've tried. When they first get sick, they go to their regular doctor, and they put them on radiation and surgery and chemotherapy and more drugs and more problems, and they just get sicker and sicker because that's not healing. That just aggravates the problem. So if when the patients finally realize that their doctors don't know a thing about healing and only worsen their situation and they come to us, they're in terminal condition. So then we have these extremely ill people. And even of these terminally ill patients, we are usually able to save somewhere upward of 40%.
It's amazing. It's like the master mechanic in the auto industry. I've known a couple where the ordinary garages send the cars that they absolutely cannot fix. But it's terrible that you should have to start with the people who are the most desperate, because this is the kind of protocol that should be the first order of things, not the last, right?
Well, you know, it goes further than that. If people would, first of all, understand to eat good, organic, vegetarian, nutritious food and not food that's been denatured and deep-fried and salted and frozen and pickled and preserved, if they eat those fresh foods in the first place, they wouldn't even have to go to the doctor. They
that's
wouldn't
right.
be sick.
Now, I am very interested in the history of this. I was fascinated in Mike Anderson's DVD to learn about how the AMA treated Dr. Gerson, and basically threw him out of the United States, didn't they?
Not quite.
Oh, okay.
No, they didn't. They just killed him. They poisoned him.
Well, Now, they have also, another thing, I'm interrupting myself, but I have understood that the word cure is not used any longer in medicine.
Yeah.
It is replaced by the word treat, and treatment is ongoing, and they laugh all the way to the bank.
Exactly.
Oh, there's another word that they use very, very often. They call it managing the disease.
Yes.
Rather than healing it or curing it or anything else, they manage it, which means that they can do it forever.
Yes, and that's lost on the average Joe. They don't understand, because they operate under this premise that doctors, people in white coats, professionals, especially trained professionals who have all these diagnostic tools, they're there to help you. But they're a big money-making machine.
You know, there's something else, too. There's a slight misunderstanding between the doctor and the patient. If a doctor has achieved, maybe with chemo or radiation, because it does temporarily kick the tumor, if a doctor has achieved the fact that the tumor has not grown for 30 days, he'll say that the patient's in remission. It's not remission.
Yeah.
It's just growing slowly or not very quickly. And as soon as this wears off, it grows faster and with a vengeance.
Now, can I ask you, in your, should I call it a clinic or a hospital?
It's a clinic in Mexico, yes.
Okay. When you introduce patients to this regimen, how soon do you actually notice improvement?
Usually in 24 hours.
And that's...
Well, that's... Wait a minute. Let's be very careful. The word improvement can cover a whole lot of different things.
Yes, yes. No, but I think that they start... They must start brightening up because, for one thing, they probably feel very different in your clinic than they do in those other facilities.
Absolutely. They feel well, I don't know. It's an atmosphere of healing. There are plants, there are palm trees, there's water, there's, you know, there's flowers, and there's friendly people. And you know what's also so very important? The doctors are happy because they see patients recover. The nurses are happy because what they're doing is helping people recover. The help is happy. The kitchen personnel, they realize that what they are producing, the fresh food, the juices and all, they are happy because they feel and they know that they can help people, that they're doing important work. It's a very happy atmosphere, totally opposite from any hospital.
Right.
The other thing is that the patients, after a couple of days of detoxification, the detoxification not only gets rid of the poisons in your body, the built-up poisons of a lifetime, but consider that pain is the manifestation of toxicity. So when we remove large amounts of toxicity in a very rapid way, then the pain disappears or at least reduces significantly. So the patients can feel their bodies responding, and very often within a week or two, they will say, my goodness, I haven't felt this good in my entire life. Now, these are terminal cancer patients, and they're saying, I haven't felt this good in my life.
You know, we had a patient who came all the way from Australia. He had, as so many men do nowadays, he had prostate cancer, and usually in the far advanced stages, it goes into the bones, and it causes terrible pain. It's extremely painful, never mind all the pain-relieving drugs and all. It's still painful. Well, this guy, within a week, did not have any more pain. You should have seen him walking around. He couldn't wipe the smile off his face.
That's amazing. It's as though they're entering a different world, a different universe.
Yes.
And
it's certainly a different universe from what the conventional medicine wants to usher you into.
Right. And then the world that we are in already is so fast-paced, and it seems like it's racing toward this hellhole. Everything in it is designed to make us feel worse and be worse overall, except for these little like pods of light that, for instance, you have created. So my wish is to see more and more of that everywhere so that all those pods connect. Because what happened in New York, the way I see it, is those people were little particles of light that came to the theater to see the movie, and then they didn't want to let you go because everything was lighting up. And that's what we have to spread. We have to shine that light into all the darkness.
Well, we certainly appreciate your helping to do that, Sophia. In New York, what was extraordinary was that about between 10 and 20% of every audience that was there as long as I was there for the entire opening weekend, were healed patients who had done this often out of the book on their own and recovered from some kind of terrible disease. And they wanted to share because while they were doing it, when they found this and when they started to approach their ailment using nutrition, everybody around them, from relatives to friends to doctors, would say, oh, you're a nutcase. That's crazy. You're throwing away your life. You need chemotherapy. And they would say, no, I refuse to do that, and they did it their own way. So even after they healed, people would shun them, they wouldn't talk to them, they thought they were nutcases. Now, all of a sudden, they had a whole audience, many of whom had the same experience as they, and they just wanted to hang on and connect to each other.
Right.
But, you know, as Howard just mentioned, a number of these people had used the book to heal themselves, and that is a very, very important point. The book that describes the Gerson therapy in very great detail and how to do it, it can help people to recover and truly recover, not just get drugged out of their minds, but truly recover. And it's relatively simple. It's eating fresh foods, organic foods, eating nature's way, not processed and poisoned and garbage stuff. And, you know, if you put garbage in, garbage out, this is also true for the body and not just the computers.
Now, well, we're about to go into break again, but right after the break, I want to be sure that we give the title of that book.
Okay.
This is Cascadia Public Radio.
You're listening to Expansion on RepublicBroadcasting.org, the RBN Network, and this is Sophia, and with me today I have Charlotte Gerson and Howard Strauss, and we were talking about the title of the book that people could get, Charlotte, so that they can start learning.
The title of the book, and it's updated, it's as new as we can possibly have it, it's called Healing the Gerson Way, and the subtitle is Defeating Cancer and Other Chronic Diseases. And it gives the background, the knowledge, the understanding, the reasoning behind everything, and it's eminently readable. It reads as easily almost as a novel. My co-author, by the name of Beata Bishop, by the way, is a recovered Gerson therapy patient. 28 years ago, she had spreading melanoma, which is always deadly, and she was given 6 weeks to 3 months to live 28 years ago. And she did the Gerson therapy, and she's very much alive to date. And not only she helped me a year, year and a half ago to write the book, but she lectures. She is at the moment in Hungary and teaching university people and setting up a Gerson clinic. And she's very active and extremely valuable in promoting the idea of natural health. And that's what this book also promotes, natural healing. And in many cases, people can do it on their own. And that's the key also. The book has now been translated and in the process of being translated into 9 different languages so that it'll be spread all over the world, that people can know and learn and understand, first of all, to stay well, but if they have passed that stage, to get well. And rather simply and easily with food that's available everywhere.
Right. It's an amazingly simple equation that has been so obscured. And I was trying to go through my mind as you were talking, okay, what are the barriers to this truth, as your movie is titled, The Beautiful Truth? First of all, I want to mention your website. Is it gerson.org?
Yes, that's correct.
So gerson.org, and I'm presuming people can order the book from the website?
Yes, they're also visible on the website and also available from Amazon. Howard will give you the details on that.
Okay,
yeah, by the way, the books will be also are available at the Lemley Theater this weekend. Along with the movie, so and we're giving a $5 discount off of both Charlotte's book, Healing the Gerson Way, and also my book, which is the biography of Dr. Gerson. You were interested in the history and how this came to pass.
Yeah.
I wrote Dr. Gerson's biography, and both books are $5 off this weekend only at the Lemley Theater.
All right. Well, for those people who are in the Southern California area, it would be great to go to Santa Monica and see the film.
I think it's Hollywood. It's on Wilshire.
It's in Beverly Hills.
Beverly Hills, sorry.
Yeah. Beverly Hills, okay. I thought it was
at 9036 Wilshire Boulevard, Beverly Hills.
All right.
And this weekend, as a matter of fact, this evening, Charlotte will be doing a Q&A after the 5 o'clock show with a cancer patient, recovered cancer patient from, or recovering actually from Australia, who was given a terminal diagnosis 2 years ago. And she came all the way here to attend the opening and to give her testimony to the audiences that come and see the movie.
Now, can I ask you, what is the biggest barrier between people and their health? Is it their food? Is it the brainwashing? What is it?
Well, due to the brainwashing, it is their food, yes.
Mm-hmm.
Let's make it simple. It's the fork. And it's the food is denatured. It's salted. It's processed. It's chemically treated. It's not even healthy when it first comes out of the soil that's pesticided and fungicided and is artificially fertilized and doesn't contain the nutrients the body needs. So that's it. It starts from the beginning, and it starts with people wanted to make money. And the FDA, they're perfectly happy because the people that pay them just want to make money on drugs and drugs and more drugs. They're not interested in health. They can't make money on health.
Right. I was reading the story of Max Gerson as a 7-year-old boy going to his grandmother's garden and looking at the two little plots of soil, the two little gardens she was growing at the same time. One was chemically fertilized just as an experiment, the other was natural, and he saw the earthworms leaving the soil with the chemicals in it and burrowing into the natural soil. Now that right there is the statement to me.
Well, that right there he never forgot.
Yes.
And that began to be the basis of his future growth and research and knowledge and understanding.
The problem is that our profit-oriented food companies have gotten so good at marketing things that we have totally lost sight of the fact that the food is what sustains our life and our health. And if we ignore that latter fact, that food is what sustains us and builds us and keeps us healthy, then we are lost. We cannot maintain our health on junk food and chemicals and food colorings and so forth. We can't.
We're going back into break, so we'll be back.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network because you can handle the truth.
Listening to Expansion on RepublicBroadcasting.org, the RBN Network. This is Sophia, your host, and I'm speaking today with Charlotte Gerson and Howard Strauss. And Max Gerson is the subject of our discussion and the Gerson therapy. Howard, you had just said that the materials, the building blocks of our health, are our food, and we were talking about detoxification, the Gerson method, detoxifying, and the food, basically the staff of life being our food, not this denatured process that they are selling to us. And you had brought up the marketing that is behind all of this bogus food, this very unhealthy food that we are surrounded by. Are you... Can you elaborate on that a little bit?
Well, yes. I mean, everybody knows that children's programs are especially targeted by junk food manufacturers because children have no discernment whatsoever about what's good and what's bad. They just believe what they're told. And so they start from a very early age indoctrinating them into anything that we advertise on television has got to be good for you. And then from when they grow up, they just don't even question it anymore. So we end up with children who won't eat anything but chicken nuggets. Now, here's an interesting little snippet. About 4 years ago, the Wall Street Journal ran an article saying that doctors were alarmed because early signs of heart disease and diabetes were starting to appear in children as young as 2 and 3 years old. Imagine a two-year-old with heart disease. That's because the children are eating these chicken nuggets, which are 60% fat by content and have 25 chemicals and ingredients that are not chicken. And yet the mother thinks, well, it's chicken. What can be bad? And many children get addicted to these things, won't eat anything else. And they put up such a fuss that that the mother will allow the child to eat just that. And then the child ends up with diabetes and heart disease at 3 years old. Is that nuts or what?
It is nuts. And in fact,
Then the drug companies are only too happy to come and tell us that children should now get statin drugs which have lethal side effects even in adults, that children should now start on statin drugs at age 2 or 3 and thereby prevent high cholesterol for the rest of their life. Well, it's much easier to prevent high cholesterol. Just don't eat high-fat foods, my gosh. But no, that doesn't make a profit for the drug companies.
So you think this is all about commerce and profit, and there's nothing... I think there's something even more odious and sinister than that. But
the more odious and sinister part, I think, has to do with the fact that the FDA and the USDA do not jump on these things and say, wait a minute, we have to protect the health not only of our population, but of our children, because they're our future. Instead, the FDA and the USDA go out of their way to promote things which are which defy health rather than promote health. The result being that anything that is health affirming and life affirming, the FDA will get rid of immediately. Look at their campaign now against fresh spinach and fresh salad and fresh fruits and vegetables. They want to irradiate them all. Whereas a product like Vioxx, which is known to have killed 100,000 people, they don't even mention. Not a word.
I'd like to make one other statement about the food. It's extremely important to note that Orthodox doctors, medicine, and equally also even nurses, but so-called nutritionists, they keep insisting that food has nothing to do with disease. Now, in the meantime, already some 20 years ago, the U.S. government issued a report which showed that possibly as many as 45 cancers in men and 55% of cancers in women are caused by faulty disease. But they absolutely will not admit, by faulty eating, but they will not admit that with correct food, you can overcome. And they absolutely disclaim any possibility that food has anything to do with healing.
So they've actually, if you were to map this, if the faulty, let's just call it eating, let's not even call it food, dietary choices lead to disease. They are willing to make that connection. They're still not willing to back the car into reverse and go the other way. They want to take the car forward and say, but our medical drugs are the answer to the problem.
Well, remember, please, that the FDA and the USDA are what is known in our current political atmosphere as captive agencies. They do not work for the people who pay their salaries. They work for the pharmaceutical companies and the beef industry. Those are the people who constitute the top several ranks of executives of both of these agencies. When they're finished with their stints at the agencies making favorable rulings for their industry, then they go back into the industry with very fat salaries as their reward. So it's a revolving door.
Yes. And the question is, how did that happen? I'm really interested in knowing how that happened. I remember from the Healing Cancer DVD that Mike Anderson did, the concerted effort of the AMA, once it came into existence, to jettison naturopaths, homeopaths, osteopaths, chiropractors, and to establish allopath medical doctors as the not even healers, but the wizards of the day when it came to disease.
Well, if you're interested in the history and how that came to be, you should read a book called Rockefeller Medicine Men. It details a 100-year effort by the Rockefeller Foundation to capture medical to capture U.S. Medical care so that it became a profit center for the Rockefeller Foundation. Period. And in doing so, they had to use a flood of cash to destroy the credibility of any other medical modality, be it osteopathy or chiropractic or eclectic medicine, herbalism, massage, anything that was not drug-oriented medicine. And they did this by a very carefully planned and carefully executed campaign over 100 years.
And it's worked.
And it worked, yes. And you can read about it in a very, very well-written book called Rockefeller Medicine Men.
Now, you know, we, I'm speaking of people like us and the listeners who are on board with this idea. I know there are a lot of people for whom convenience is the impediment.
Mm-hmm. So, well, but if you really think about it, Sophia, the problem is that that you can eat fast food, and you can eat junk food, and you can eat stuff you can pick up at the corner for only so long. And then you start to get sick, and with degenerative diseases, the chronic diseases of our time are considered incurable. That's why they're considered chronic, because they will go on forever. Now, when you start to think about the inconvenience to a person, to a parent, not to mention the grief, but to a parent of having a 4-year-old or 6-year-old with cancer, and how much time and expense and effort and grief is involved with that, then you start to average out the convenience of everything else, then suddenly eating properly becomes way, way more convenient than illness, believe me.
But if that connection is never made for them, they're not going to make it on their own. And I think many people muddle through life, most people, with what I call it's incremental discomfort. And the increment adds on the last increment, and by the time they're in their 50s, they are obese, they do have chronic disease, they may have atherosclerosis or something wrong with their arteries, they may be on a few drugs, but they don't see how they got there because they see themselves as being normal. Just like everyone else.
Have you ever heard of the experiment that psychologists have show about the just noticeable difference? That if they throw a frog into hot water, the frog will immediately jump out because
yes.
it knows that it's in trouble.
Right, boiling the frog.
But if you put a frog into warm water, and you very, very slowly heat that water so the frog never notices that incremental problem that the water is increasing in heat, then the frog will eventually boil to death because he doesn't know that the water is getting hotter and hotter by very, very, very minor degrees. And that's what's happening to us. We're getting sick by absolutely paper-thin margins every day. But pretty soon we have a stack of paper that's above our head.
You know, just recently I would almost say the misfortune to be acquainted with a lady who started out a number of years ago with rheumatoid arthritis. And of course she was originally given prednisone and then painkillers and things like that. And at this time when I met her, she was virtually bedfast. She could hardly move. She was seriously ill, unable to move her joints or anything, unable to move her head. What happened? Well, orthodox medicine has a temerity of explaining certain diseases that they simply don't know what to do with and that drugs don't help, that they simply say, well, they're autoimmune diseases. You know, there is no such thing, Sylvia, as autoimmune diseases. If they were true, then everything we do, the Gerson therapy increases the immune system. We would kill these patients. On the other hand, with increasing and balancing and getting the body back in order and function and improving the immune system, we cure the so-called autoimmune diseases. So that doesn't exist. It's false. But what they can do, once they give it a name like that, now they can explain to these unfortunate patients that, well, their immune system is working overtime and they have to destroy or at least weaken the immune system. And how do they do it? With cancer drugs, with chemotherapy drugs. And that causes this terrible destruction, and this poor lady who was virtually unmovable, unable to eat, virtually unable to talk because of chemotherapy methotrexate. Now, she only started with rheumatoid arthritis. It's easy to clear, to stop eating animal proteins. It's easy to heal. But they got her after years of drugging, billions of dollars worth for these poor, unfortunate people with so-called autoimmune diseases, and they kill the immune system. They kill them with chemotherapy drugs that cause cancer and everything else. It's just unbelievable. But the doctors feel that they can put this over on people.
Well they can. They've been doing it.
Yes, but if I'm going to take my little periscope now and go back into time, into the, I'm going to pick one nurse, this is all hypothetical, in one hospital, and I'm going to look into her life and how she went to nursing school and what she thought she was going to be doing with herself as a career, and all of the attendant brainwashing in that education that she received, which is so effective, and all those people delivering that education are also brainwashed with the same kind of faulty education, and they all think they're doing something good. That's what's at the bottom of this.
And when you look at the general overall health of doctors and nurses in hospitals, it is appallingly bad.
Right. Well, they're just members of society at large, you know. I think it was in The Beautiful Truth that I saw about which doctors recommend Camel as the best cigarettes. That wasn't too long ago.
Oh, yes, right.
That wasn't very long ago. That's right.
Yeah, and the food they eat and everything else. You can look at their bodies, and you can look at the way people walk today, and you can see that there's something clearly wrong with them as specimens. If you were to put them in spaceships and send them into orbit to visit other planets, which people would you select to put in the spaceship, you know, saying this is an example of a human being? I always wonder about that. Most people that you pick off the street are not good specimens. They're dying.
They're in such terrible shape, Sophia, that after a few days at our clinic down in Mexico, I can tell you that the patients who are eating lunch at the dining room, on average, look way better than the people walking around on the street outside, because they have color in their cheeks, their eyes are clear, they have good appetites, they're doing well, and the people outside are not.
So again, I am trying to figure out how we can take the small numbers that are represented by people like you, and yet the enormity of the information, and create a reversal in the society at large in terms of their consciousness, and open up their consciousness, take it away from this closed, automatic state that it's in, which is effectively just marching them toward their grave.
Well, you know, one of the major problems, of course, is that Orthodox medicine, and particularly the pharmaceutical companies, have absolutely huge, unlimited funds. And they are able to throw these funds into advertising and publicity and advertising and publicity.
And lobbying.
And yes, absolutely, that we have relatively a very tiny voice. However, the public, people, are beginning to understand. You know, you can't fool all the people all the time. You can feel, still fool a lot of people. You can't fool them all the time. But the public is getting these films, these movies. And, you know, the Healing Cancer from the Inside Out or Food Matters was playing, for instance, in Toronto in a theater. And the line of people who wanted to see it and learn and understand was forming around the block. The public wants to know. They realize the doctors aren't helping them. They're drugging them. And, yes, it's convenient to take a pill and forget about it, but, you know, it catches up with you and you cannot recover with it. So the public, and we are trying, like I said, with the translation into many languages of the book and with helping others to get well and spreading the word by simply showing people who are well from being absolutely declared terminal. Now, we had another patient at the Lemley Theater the other evening, a man who was 22 years recovered from kidney cancer with lung metastases. Well, nobody ever recovers from that, not 6 months. He didn't have 6 weeks.
We are coming on our next break, and we'll be back in 3 minutes. You're listening to Expansion on the RBN Network, republicbroadcasting.org. This is Sophia, your host, and we are entering nearly into our second hour with Charlotte Gerson and Howard Strout. Now, you were speaking, Charlotte, of a young man who was in his 20s who had been given quite a death sentence, I would say, and he was at the opening and he had survived and was doing very well.
I'm sorry, he was not in his 20s, but he has survived 22 years.
Oh, that's what I, yes.
After kidney cancer plus lung metastases. They removed the kidney and absolutely discovered, you know, that unquestionably that the kidney was virtually taken over by tumor tissue. But that kind of cancer always spreads, and it had spread to his lungs, and the lungs show the shadows. And he did the nutritional therapy, the Gerson treatment, and it's now 22 years later, and he's very much alive and well.
Well, these examples are very inspiring, for sure. I just don't, I wouldn't wish that people would have to enter a state of decline before they would switch over. And I think this convenience factor, which we touched on a little while ago, is something that needs to be explored more and somehow broken through. Because people can say, oh, well, I have the Gerson therapy. I can always get the book if something happens to me, you know?
Yes.
But in the meantime, again, those increments don't really register as the frog is boiling. The water's very hot, but people are saying, well, I'm okay. Yeah, I'm a little bit overweight. I could have more color in my cheeks, but there's always makeup or something, you know, to mask it. And I think it's a tragedy that people mask their symptoms because they're in this big kind of shovel of humanity where everyone else is doing the same thing.
Yeah, I think you hit on a very important word there, and that's masking, because that's the extent of the help that conventional medicine gives you. It masks symptoms. It does not heal anything. So if you have, for instance, a pain in your shoulder, they'll give you a pill, and hopefully the pill will prevent your brain from registering that pain, and then they consider that a success. But it doesn't fix your shoulder. The underlying problem of whatever it is still bothering you, and you will have to take that painkiller again tomorrow and again the day after, which is fine for the pharmaceutical companies, but it's not fine for you, because eventually all drugs, without exception, are liver toxic. So if you have to take something for the rest of your life, you're destroying your liver slowly.
Well, it's almost as though they have a chessboard, and when you develop something, they rub their hands and say, oh, good, we can put this person on our chessboard and move him around.
Yep.
Square to square for the rest of his life as he gets sicker and weaker, and then he finally falls off the board into some kind of, acquisition heap or something, and representing a lot of money in the meantime. So, you know, I have a friend who is finally realized he's overweight. He's very informed on so many things, but he doesn't have a clue about food. And I'll go into this. We have a very short, this is our top of the hour break. We'll be back in just over a minute.